Happy April 15th to Bill Melberg. How are you, Bill?
Happy April 15th, Stevie. Happy birthday, Diane.
Thank you, Bill.
Happy tax day, everybody.
Yeah.
And just in case you didn't file your tax forms yesterday, as I just did, you actually have until Monday to file them this year.
Yep.
Isn't it kind of Uncle Sam and the IRS to give us three more days?
I thought the actual reason was that tomorrow is Emancipation Day in Washington, and the federal government is marking the holiday today, which is why our taxes are due Monday.
I thought it was actually in celebration of Diane's birthday.
Hey, that too.
It's actually, you're right, Stevie. It's because of Emancipation Day. So instead of thanking Uncle Sam for the extra time, we can thank President Lincoln.
There you go.
But, you know, seriously, given the high unemployment numbers, there won't be quite as many people paying taxes this year. But no problem. President Obama says all we have to do is make rich people pay more taxes. That might not balance the budget or erase the deficit, but there's nothing like good old-fashioned class warfare to make the rest of us feel better. Sock it to the rich. Of course, the problem is poor people don't create any jobs. Rich people do. And if rich people are paying more taxes, they're hiring fewer poor people. In any case, don't forget to file your taxes, and if you're self-employed and pay estimated quarterly taxes, don't forget to double those 2011 payments to the state of Illinois.
That's right.
Since our brilliant leaders in Springfield just doubled our tax rates this year, and you can thank them for it next year in the November election 2012.
Oh, well, having reminded everyone to file their tax forms, we're going to change the subject and welcome today's special guest. He's a Nobel Peace Prize winner and a former president. Joining us now on our VIP line from his presidential library in Atlanta, Georgia. He is the 39th president of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Carter. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Stevie. And good morning, Diane. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And it's good to be with you again. You know, talking with you, Stevie, and Diane, and your Connect FM listeners really puts a smile on my face.
Well, we're pleased to be talking with you as well, sir. And let me begin by asking you a question pertaining to President Obama and his budget speech on Wednesday. What did you think of the president's remarks, sir?
Well, Stevie, I thought the president's speech was outstanding. No one can read a teleprompter like Barack Obama. Moreover, I approved of what he said. Take from the rich and give to the poor. From each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. That's the American way, Stevie. And that's why Barack Obama, like me, will be remembered as one of America's greatest presidents.
Well, Mr. President, I hate to bring up a sore point, but some people describe you as, quote, the worst president in American history, unquote.
Now, why would anyone say a thing like that?
Well, sir, it might have something to do with the fact that during your 4 years as president, America gave away the Panama Canal, which the Chinese now operate. The energy crisis created long lines at gas stations and record high inflation. Interest rates were soaring, sir. Businesses were hurting. America experienced its worst economic downturn up until that time since World War II. And global terrorism has got a boost when you helped remove the Shah of Iran and helped empower the Ayatollah.
Well, Stevie, if people are going to pick on every little thing, I mean, give me a break. Don't forget, I won the Nobel Peace Prize for bringing Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat together, ending the state of war that had existed for so many years between Egypt and Israel.
Yes, and I might add that prize was well-deserved, sir.
Well, thank you, Stevie. By the way, do some people really say I was the worst president ever?
Yes, sir, Mr. President, I'm afraid they do.
Well, that's another reason I support President Obama. After all, in just 2.5 years since he took office, the national debt has risen by trillions of dollars, unemployment is higher than at any time since the Great Depression, food and gasoline are at record high prices, home values have hit record lows, foreclosures are still climbing, tuitions are still soaring, America's health care system is in disarray, health care costs are still going up despite President Obama's Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which he signed into law a year ago. The Russians are taking the lead in space once again. Inflation is starting to rear its ugly head. The terrorist detention facility is still open at Guantanamo. And we've just started a third war in yet another Muslim country that's costing millions of tax dollars each and every day. So, Stevie, that's why I support President Barack Obama. Because in the future, whenever anyone's talking about who was the worst president ever, they're never going to mention me anymore.
I guess the old adage is true, sir. One person's bad news is another person's good news. So the worse President Obama looks, the better you look.
That's right, Stevie. His bad news is my good news. And on that note, I'm afraid I have to run, but thank you for having me. Happy birthday again, Diane, and keep smiling, everybody.
Yes.
Thank you, President Jimmy Carter. George on my mind, live from his presidential library in Atlanta, Jimmy Carter. And now we have another VIP guest who was in the audience as President Obama delivered his address the other day. Remember, on Wednesday, the president delivered his budget address. Unfortunately, the cameras caught this gentleman sleeping throughout most of the president's speech. But I have now been assured that he'll be awake for our interview. And here he is. Good morning, Vice President Joe Biden. Vice President Biden. Vice President Biden. We're trying to reach Vice President Joe Biden. Mr. Vice President, good morning, Mr. Vice President. Can you hear us, sir? Mr. Vice President? Joe Biden. Well, we seem to have a bad connection with the Vice President's office, so let's switch to Capitol Hill in Washington, where Senator John McCain of Arizona and Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts will give us their reactions to President Obama's budget speech. Senator McCain was President Obama's Republican opponent in the 2008 election, of course, and Congressman Frank, of course, is a Democrat. We go to John McCain. Good morning, sir. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Stevie, my friend.
Good morning, Senator McCain. How about you, Congressman Frank? Can you hear me all right?
I hear you loud and clear, Stevie.
Well, Senator McCain and Congressman Frank, what were your reactions to President Obama's budget speech? What do you think of the tone and content?
Stevie, my friend, I thought it stunk. Absolutely stunk. And so did Cindy, my billionaire wife. Stevie, I thought it was terrific. It's about time for billionaires to pay their fair share of taxes.
Well, those are two very different, divergent views. So let me ask you to expand upon those comments, if you would. Congressman Frank, what do you think a billionaire's fair share should be?
Stevie, I believe billionaires should be paying 90% of everything they make over $250,000 to the federal government. They can afford it. After all, Senator McCain and his billionaire wife own 18 homes. Why does anyone need 18 homes? Would it kill them to sell one or two of those houses and turn your money over to the federal government?
Senator McCain, is that true? Do you and your wife really own 18 homes?
No, we don't, Stevie. That's ridiculous. We only own 8 homes. And if we sold 2 of them, we'd be firing 2 cooks, 2 maids, and 2 groundskeepers. Would that make Congressman Frank happy or President Obama? Our houses keep lots of people employed, Stevie. When you squeeze the rich, others feel the pinch, my friend. Others feel it, too.
Congressman Frank?
Stevie, we need to redistribute the wealth. It belongs to everybody. And as President Obama says, the rich need to pay their fair share, period.
Senator McCain?
Stevie, 70% of the income taxes in this country are paid by 10% of the adult population. Nearly half that population pays no taxes. And nearly half the people who are employed in this country are working for government, supported by the other half who are employed in the private sector and who are otherwise known as taxpayers.
Congressman Frank.
Stevie, it's obvious that the Democrats and the Republicans have 2 diametrically opposed points of view, and never the twain shall meet. So, to be very honest with you, I don't see much chance of finding any common ground between now and next year's elections. We simply have two diametrically opposed philosophies of government.
Senator McCain, the last word goes to you, sir.
Well, Stevie, my friend, I can agree with Congressman Frank on one thing. We're diametrically opposed to each other, which I suppose is why President Obama has already launched his reelection campaign a year and a half ahead of the election, I might add. I don't know how he finds the time to do everything, golf every week, vacations every month, and now campaigning every day.
Well, thank you, Senator John McCain and Congressman Barney Frank, for sharing your views as usual. Okay, we're there. I understand we have Vice President Joe Biden back on the line. Maybe he'll weigh in on this debate about taxes and budgets and deficits. Mr. Vice President, sir, can you hear me now? Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, can you hear me, sir? Vice President Joe Biden. Joe Biden, are you there, sir? Connected with the Vice President's office. Vice President Joe Biden, are you there, sir? Could you wait? Weigh in on the taxes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it appears we still can't get the, well, sir, can't get the Vice President's attention. You'll be happy to know that he's chairing a government commission to investigate why so many air traffic controllers have been falling asleep on the job in recent weeks. We'll be back with former President George W. Bush right after these important messages. Former President George W. Bush standing by in Dallas, Texas. He's next on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. It's 8:50. All right, for our final segment, joining us now from his ranch in Texas is former President George W. Bush. And Mr. President, as you know, Tuesday marked the 50th anniversary of Yuri Gagarin's historic first trip into space and the 30th anniversary of the first space shuttle. It also marked the day that NASA announced which museums will be getting the space shuttles after they're retired, following the last space shuttle mission coming up this summer. And I understand Texans are not very happy that one of them isn't going to Houston, where the astronauts train for their flights and where mission control is located. Unbelievable.
Well, that's right, Stevie. And, you know, as the Chamber of Commerce put it, Houston, we've got a problem.
Oh, man.
And the problem is, all the space shuttles are going to museums in blue states.
Are you saying that politics had something to do with the selection process?
Stevie, wash your mouth out with soap. I can't believe you'd even suggest such a thing. I mean, we all know the Obama administration would never do anything for political reasons. And naturally, I never did either.
Well, speaking of space, I think I might have asked you this question before, but isn't it
That's all right. Go ahead, ask it again.
Well, isn't it true that you wanted to become an astronaut when you were a young kid?
No. No, but that's what my teacher said, Stevie. You know, during those parent-teacher conferences.
Yeah.
School, you know,
oh, yeah.
They kept telling my parents all I ever did in my classes was take up space.
Well, thank you for being with us again, Mr. President.
You're welcome, and happy birthday, Diane.
Thank you.
And you're going to be 11?
That's right, double digits that are similar.
Yeah.
Fantastical.
We're going back now to our friend Bill Melberg in Chicago. Speaking of...
Happy birthday, Diane.
Thank you.
I'm 39.
All right.
You and Jack Benny.
Yeah.
Hey, well, my mom's 29, so...
And she looks it.
That's thank you. She does. Hey, about the space shuttles.
Yes,
they were built, and you're an aviation guru, they were built for 100 missions. Why then are we stopping these things at only 39 missions?
Well, because we were supposed to be replacing the space shuttle program with a program called Constellation, which would send American astronauts back to the moon. And they needed to... convert the facilities down at the Kennedy Space Center to make way for that program and also to start training the astronauts for Constellation and going back to the moon. President Obama canceled the Constellation program last year, and he didn't resuscitate the space shuttle program to take its place.
So we've got nothing.
We're right back where we were 50 years ago when the Russians were ahead of us and launching Gagarin, and we weren't able to put our own astronauts into space. But never fear, because President Obama has the answer. we'll be letting the Russian rockets carry our astronauts into space.
I mean, seriously, is that what our plan is?
That's what we're going to do.
Well, how much
is $50 million a seat.
How much?
Well, it was $50 million, but the Russians have just announced that they're going to raise the price to $70
million. Bill, what's it cost to fund all of this? I mean, the Constellation would have been how many? It's billions, but how many?
Well, it would have been over the next 10 years, it would have been many, many billions, and it wasn't being funded properly, so the program was behind schedule, and it would probably be even more so right now with the economic crunch. But at least we were going somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And from the moon, we were going to head out to Mars.
Right, that was
but
a stepping
right now,
stone,
right. As astronaut Gene Cernan puts it, NASA has a blueprint for a mission to nowhere.
Wow.
And so the Russians must be laughing because as they celebrate their big anniversary of the 50th anniversary of the first man in space this week, they're on top again.
Unbelievable. Wonder what John Kennedy would say. He's the one that said, hey, we'll get to the moon by the end of the decade,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
He would have said, ask not what, never mind.
Bill, thank you as always. Always a pleasure to wind down our busy week with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Don't forget to get those tax forms.
That's
in.
Right.
That's right.
Bill Melberg, political satirist, humorist, and eveningwiththepresidents.com is where you can learn more about Billy's terrific and live shows. And eveningwiththepresidents.com. Diane, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend. Look
Thank
for Diane
you.
At the High School St. Thomas More later today from 1:30 to 3. I'm Stevie J. Patty and Linda next. And it's Mary Lynn and Diane after 12. Tay and Jay, 3 to 6 today. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.